All right, well, we're there in John chapter 21, and we've been preaching through a series on Sunday mornings entitled Follow Me. And this is now the last sermon in the series of Follow Me. We're going to take a little bit of a break. I'm not exactly sure how long, maybe just 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, and then we're going to jump into a series that I'm really excited about, and I want you to get excited about. Make sure you're here, and make sure you invite someone. We're going to be doing a study out of the book of Nehemiah, not a verse-by-verse study, just bring out some principles from the book of Nehemiah. We're going to be going through a series titled Rise and Build, and we're going to be looking at principles from the book of Nehemiah about building a life that makes an impact. I don't know about you, but I want to live my life in a way that when I am gone, people will say, he made a difference. He did something. He impacted something. And we're going to be looking at that over the summer months here in the next couple of weeks or so. But as we finish this series about Follow Me, I want to just quickly remind you, we started this series back in Easter, if you remember, and we looked at the life of Levi. And we learned that the same thing that qualifies you for salvation is the same thing that qualifies you to be a follower of Christ. So often people will say, I can't be a follower, I can't be a disciple because I'm a sinner. But the thing is that the fact that you're a sinner qualifies you for salvation, and the fact that you're a sinner qualifies you to become a follower and a disciple of Jesus Christ. We learned that idea that Jesus came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then we saw the life of Peter, and we're going to go back to Peter today, but you remember we learned the idea that to be a follower of Christ, you must forsake all. And Peter was called by Christ, and he had to leave the nets, and he had to leave the ship, and he had to leave everything that he knew and forsake all that he had in order to be a follower of Christ. We learned about the fact that to be a follower, we can have no excuses. We learned about the fact that to be a follower, we must learn to deny self. We can't be selfish or self-centered. It's not about us when we're following Jesus Christ. It's about Christ. We taught a sermon about following the leader, the fact that God puts spiritual leadership in our lives and we ought to follow men as they follow Christ. Last week, we talked about following Christ and fishing for men and the fact that the reason to follow Christ is to reproduce ourselves, to reach people. And today, we're here in John 21. But before we get into the sermon, I feel like we have got to do a little bit of review on the life of Peter. Keep your finger there in John 21 and go with me just real quickly to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. Keep your finger there in John 21. Matthew, of course, is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 26, and I want you to understand that as Jesus was coming to the end of his life, and he was getting ready to be crucified and to be put to death, Peter had a little bit of a problem. Peter had a defiant attitude. In Matthew 26 and verse 31, we're going to do just a little bit of review, and I want you to try to remember some of these things. They're going to apply back when we get to John 21. Matthew 26 and verse 31, you may be familiar with this. The Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them, Matthew 26 and verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. So Jesus is telling the disciples, I'm going to get arrested, and all of you are going to be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. So he says, look, I'm the shepherd, and when the shepherd gets smitten, the sheep of the flock will get scattered. Look at verse 32. He says, but after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Jesus knew that he was going to die, but he also knew that he was going to resurrect. And he said, I'm going to die, you're going to scatter, I'm going to be put to death, you're going to forsake me. But when I rise again, he said, I'll meet you in Galilee. He said, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, notice Peter's problem. Peter had a pride problem. Look at verse 33. But Peter answered and said unto him, now notice what he says. He says, though all men shall be offended because of thee. He says, yet will I never be offended. And you notice what he just did? This is usually what pride does. It puts others down to raise ourselves up. And he says, Jesus, you know what? All these guys, they're going to scatter. All these guys, they're going to get offended. All these guys, they're weak. They're going to fall. They're going to fail. He says, though all men shall be offended because of thee. He says, yet will I never be offended. And he's got this pride issue. Where he says, I would never leave you, I would never forsake you, I would never deny you. And it's funny because Jesus actually turns around and says, look at verse 34. Jesus said unto him, he said, actually, Peter, he said, I'm glad you brought that up, because the truth of the matter is this, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou, he says, you, Peter, thou shalt deny me thrice. He said, not only are you all going to scatter, he said, Peter, you're going to be the worst one. He said, Peter, not only are you all going to be offended and all going to run away and all get scared. He said, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times tonight. Now notice Peter's problem. Not only had a pride problem, but he had a submission problem. See, Jesus wasn't really the boss. Notice what he says, verse 35. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. What is Peter saying? Here's what he's saying. He's saying, Jesus, you're wrong. He's saying, Jesus, I don't really care what you're saying. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. You think I'm going to deny you? You don't even know, Jesus. If you knew who I was, he says, though I should die, he said, I'm willing to die with you. He said, though I should die, he said, yet will I not deny thee. And here's the thing. I don't think Peter's lying. If you study the other passages in the other Gospels, you'll find that Peter takes a sword out and cuts a man's ear off, attempting to cut his head off in order to defend Christ. Peter, I believe, is being very sincere when he says, I will not deny Christ. But notice, he has a submission problem, because instead of saying to Jesus, you are God, you are all-knowing, you know me better than I know myself, and Jesus, please help me not to do that, he says, Jesus, you don't know. He says, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Jesus, you don't know me. You say that I'm going to deny you, but I, Peter, say that I will never deny you. Peter had a problem. He had a pride problem. And he had a submission problem. And of course, you know the story. Go with me to Luke chapter 22. When you get to Luke, put your bulletin there or a bookmark there or something, because we're gonna leave the book of Luke, but we're going to come back to it. We're going to go back and forth from the book of Luke. Luke chapter 22. Of course, you know the story. Peter denies Christ. Luke chapter 22, look at verse 54. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54, the Bible says this. Then took they him and led him, talking about Christ, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. So Peter, you know, kind of gets a distance from Christ, but he's still following, and that's usually how we get ourselves into trouble. You're still following, but it's kind of afar off. Notice verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, there were set down together. Peter sat down among them. That was his other problem. He sat down with the world. Started sitting around with the people that were enemies of Christ. He sat down among them to get warm next to the fire. Verse 56. But a certain maid. Now the word maid in our King James Bible means a virgin. And usually it's a reference to a young girl. So here comes this young girl. I mean a 12-year-old junior high school girl. And the Bible says, but a certain maid beheld him as they sat by the hall and were set, verse 56. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, there you go, and earnestly looked upon him and said, now notice what she says, this man was also with him. She looks at Peter and she says, hey, weren't you with Jesus? I'm pretty sure, because I was there when Jesus did that whole, the fishes and the loaves thing, and I'm pretty sure, weren't you with him? Now notice verse 57. Here comes denial number one, and he denied him. I'm thinking to myself, Peter, weren't you the guy just a couple minutes ago said, though I should die with thee, I will never deny you? Here comes a 12-year-old girl, and you're, no, that wasn't me. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Look at verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Denial number two. And about the space of 1 hour after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. Look at verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. Denial number three. And immediately, as soon as the words come out of his mouth, immediately while he yet spake, the cock. Now, here's the worst part, and here's why we read it out of the book of Luke, because we get a little bit of insight in Luke that we don't get in other passages. Peter is sitting, and he's looking up into the house of the high priest as they are doing this judgment in this court of Christ. And he's able to see Jesus through a window. And at this moment when the cock crow, I mean, could you imagine, keep in mind, Jesus is God in the flesh. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. This is the Son of God. He knows everything that's going on at the same time. And at that moment, the Bible says, look at verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Could you imagine that? Jesus is up there on trial. The cock crows. He turns around, looks out a window, looks directly at Peter, makes eye contact with Peter. And Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said unto him before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Look at verse 62. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. This broke Peter's heart. Peter realized that he failed God. Peter realized that he messed up. Peter was embarrassed and he was upset. The Bible doesn't say he wept bitterly because he shed a tear. I mean, he went out and he wept and he said, I can't believe what I've done. Now, you got to understand, Christ is then put to death. His body is put in the grave. And 3 days pass and he resurrects from the grave. This entire time, Peter is beating himself up over how lousy and how, you know, small and how frail his faith was in regards to standing up for Christ. Now, that's the context that leads us into John chapter 21. Keep your finger in Luke, but can you get back with me to John 21? John 21 and verse number 1 is now after the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is already resurrected. Peter and the disciples know that Jesus is resurrected. But they feel so guilty, and they feel so lousy, and they feel so small. And in verse 1, we'll begin there in verse 1 of chapter 21, the Bible says this: after these things, after what things? After the death, burial, resurrection of Christ, after the denial of Peter, after all these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. So here's the story of how Jesus showed himself to the disciples in the Sea of Tiberias. Here we go, verse 2. There were together Simon Peter. Now, I want you to notice, the Bible tells us how many disciples were with Simon at the time. There were together Simon Peter, that's number one, and Thomas called Didymus, that's number two, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, that's number three, and the sons of Zebedee, we know those are James and John, so that's number four and five, and two other of his disciples, that's number six or seven. Now, if you remember, there was 12 apostles. One was Judas, who hung himself after he betrayed the Lord. So now we've got 11 apostles. Here with Peter, you've got 7 of the 11 there, right? That, you know, you ever been to 7-Eleven? That's where they got that. No, I'm just kidding. That's not where they got that. I don't know where they got that. But you've got 7 out of the 11 apostles here with Peter. Now notice what Peter does. John chapter 21 and verse 3. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now you may read that and you may think, what's the big deal? Peter's going to go fishing? But you got to understand, this is not a Saturday morning and they're going on a fishing trip. Because if you remember, keep your finger there in John 21. Go back with me to Luke. Not 22, but Luke chapter 5. And when you get to Luke 5, maybe put a bulletin there or something there, because we're going to come back to it. But do you remember when Jesus called Peter? Remember when Jesus called Peter to become a follower of Christ? Jesus said something to Peter. Luke chapter 5, look at verse 10. Luke chapter number 5 and verse number 10. Luke 5 and verse 10. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, right? We see that, which were partner with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, this is what Jesus said to Simon, to Peter, when he called him. He said, fear not. He said, from henceforth, thou shalt catch men. Jesus said to Peter, Peter, you're not catching fish anymore. You're not going fishing anymore. You're not catching fish anymore. He said, from now on, you're going to catch men. Follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men, is what Jesus said to Peter. So when Peter, if you get back to John 21, says to the disciples, I go a fishing, here's what he was saying. I quit. I'm done. I know Jesus said I'm not supposed to fish anymore. I know Jesus said I'm supposed to forsake my net. I know Jesus said I'm supposed to forsake the boat. And I know I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to be in ministry. I'm supposed to catch men and follow Christ and fish for men. But I have shamed myself. I'm depressed. I'm discouraged. I go a fishing. He said, I'm quitting. He said, I'm going back to my old life. I'm going back to what I used to do. I'm going back to how I was before I met Christ. And you know, Peter, we like to beat up on Peter a lot, and I actually like Peter. Someone said that leadership is influence. And Peter was definitely a leader because he influenced others. Because notice, he says, I go a fishing. And notice what the next phrase is. The Bible says, they say unto him. Now, who's the they? That's the 6 other disciples. They say unto him, we also go with thee. Listen to me. When you quit on Christ, you're not the only one that quits on Christ. You usually take people with you. You say, I'm going to quit church. You might drag your kids out with you. Might drag your wife out with you. Might drag other people out with you. Peter says, I quit. I'm done. I go a fishing. And there go 6 of the other apostles say, we quit too. We're done too. We don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to go fish with you. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. Now, here's what you got to understand before you start beating up on Peter a little too much. Go with me to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. 2 Timothy. If you can find those T-books, they're all kind of clustered together. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, and Titus. So towards the end of the New Testament, you find those T-books. Go to 2 Timothy, chapter number 4. You got to understand this. We will all fail Christ at some point. We will. I didn't say you might. I said you will fail Christ at some point. You're going to do something that you shouldn't have done. You're going to say something that you shouldn't have done. You're going to say something or do something that you're embarrassed about, that discourages you, and we will all at some point fail Jesus Christ. But at the same time, we are all prone to wander. We are all prone to forsake. We are all prone to leave. I love that song, you know, Come Thou Fount of Every. It says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And so you got to understand this. We are prone to wander, and we are prone to leave, and we are prone to quit. And it is always a love issue. Are you there in 2 Timothy chapter 4? Look at verse 10. Let me give you another example, someone who quit on Jesus. Paul said, for Demas, this was his good friend, his helper. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me. Why'd he leave you, Paul? Why'd he quit on you, Paul? Why'd he leave the ministry? Why'd he leave God? Why'd he leave church? Why'd he leave, Paul? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. See, it's a love issue. It's a love problem. We leave God because we love the world. We leave God because we love ourselves. You say, why did Peter deny Jesus to a maid? Here's why. Self-preservation. He said, if they killed Jesus, what are they going to do to the disciples? He said, if they find out I was a follower of Christ, they might put me on that cross. And he loved himself. And he left Jesus. And sometimes we love the world and we leave Jesus. You got to understand this. If you can get back to, go to Luke. Go back to Luke. Can you go to Luke chapter 22? Luke chapter 22. I know we're doing a lot of review, but I got to kind of set the foundation before we can get into the real meat of the sermon. We are all prone to leave. I've pastored now for four and a half years. 4.5 years ago, we started, my wife and I started this church in our living room, a handful of people. And one thing that I've learned in the last 4.5 years of ministry is this. People come and go. People come, they get excited, they mess up, they get discouraged, they leave. We've seen people come and go and come back. There are some people I'm praying for right now. They're out there in the world, and I fully expect to see them back. I don't know when. Maybe a year from now, maybe 10 years from now. I plan on still being here and walking them back when they get back. Because people come and go. It's just part of church life. My dad used to tell me, it tells me now, even now, about, you know, he says, church is like a river. You know, it's always moving. It's always moving. You got people now, you know, enjoy them and love them while you have them, because you may not have them next week. We're out having lunch yesterday, and I was just trying to remember the name of a family. I looked over at my wife, I said, you remember that family that recently quit our church? She said, which one? You know what I mean? There's like, people are quitting all the time, you know, and it's just the truth. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings, and I'm not trying to scare you, be mean, but listen to me. There are some of you sitting in this room right now that will not be here a year from now. And you'll have gone, and you'll have quit, and you'll have left, and you're prone to wander. You're prone to leave the God that you love. But I want to tell you something, and I want to encourage you in something. Are you there in Luke 22? Look at verse 31. Jesus is speaking to Peter. Before Jesus dies, before Peter messes up, before Peter denies Christ, before Peter leaves, Jesus makes a statement to Peter. And I want to make that statement to you, because some of you may leave, and some of you may quit, and some of you may forsake, and you may go back to drugs or alcohol or whatever it is you came out of, and you may go back to your old life and your old lifestyle. But Jesus said something to Peter. Notice Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. He says, Simon, you are under satanic attack. You are going to be attacked. Satan wants to destroy you. Satan wants to have you. And he said to Peter, he really wants you, Peter, because you're a leader, because you influence others, because when you say something, others follow along, and others say the same thing. Look at verse 32. Jesus said, but I've prayed for thee That must have been encouraging. Can you imagine Jesus praying for you? He says, but I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Here's what Jesus said. I don't want your faith to fail. Your faith is going to fail. I don't want your faith to fail, but you are going to mess up. You are going to deny. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail. But notice, don't miss this. And when, notice, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brother. So what was Jesus saying? Here's what he's saying. Peter, you're going to leave. You're going to quit. You're going to get sad and discouraged and depressed, and you're going to go back to your old lifestyle. He says, but Peter, when you get back, I want to use that influence you have to strengthen your brother. I want to use that leadership ability of you to help others be strong. And here's what he's saying. Before Peter leaves, Jesus says, Peter, you're welcome back. You can come back. I want you to know, Peter, you haven't left yet. You don't even think you're leaving. I'm telling you you're going to deny me. You're trying to correct me, telling me you're not going to deny me. But Peter, I just want you to know, before you mess up, before you quit, before you leave, before the divorce is finalized, before your children leave, before you go back, I just want you to know, Peter, I just want you to know, you're welcome back. He says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Can you get back to John 21? So that's where we find ourselves in the life of Peter. Peter's quit. Peter's gone. Peter's discouraged. Peter's depressed. Peter's embarrassed. Peter has failed. And in John 21, in verse number 4, the Bible says this. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Here's what I love about the Bible. Jesus is recreating for them the same scene in which he initially called Peter. Remember when we learned about Peter in Luke chapter 5? Remember Jesus goes to Peter and says, can I use your boat? He says, sure. He says, cast out a little bit. Jesus preaches. He said, cast out. He said, launch out into the deep. He said, throw the net over. And Peter says, well, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught anything. We're not going to catch anything. Jesus says, just throw the nets, Peter. He says, I'll throw a net. He throws a net. Remember the story? He catches all those fish. Because he didn't listen, the net break. Remember that? Jesus is recreating this exact same scene. Notice what he says. Verse 5. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast, therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And John's thinking to himself, this seems familiar. Did I just have a deja vu? I think we've done this before. Look at verse 7. Therefore the disciples whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and then cast himself into the sea. I don't know, that's a different culture, I guess. Look at verse 8. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid there on the bread. Here's what's funny. Jesus says, do you have any meat? They say, we don't. He said, do you have any fish? They said, we don't. He said, throw the net over. He brings all the fish. They drag the net in. Jesus already has fish on the frying pan. See, Jesus doesn't really need you. He just does this to show his power. Look at verse 10. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there was so many. Don't miss this. Yet was not the net broken. Why does the Bible tell us that? Because it's trying to bring us back to Luke 5 when Peter first got called, when the net broke. Look at verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. Don't you like that song? We sung it this morning. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask. The word durst means dare. They did not dare ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Because they're caught doing exactly what Jesus said, don't do. Their hand is in the cookie jar. You know what I mean? And Jesus said, don't go fishing. He comes out, they're fishing. It's like, good night, guys. The one thing, I mean, why don't you go become a plumber? The one thing I told you not to do. Look at verse 13. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. And then Jesus begins to engage Peter in conversation. And here's the sermon. Here's the point. Here's a question every backslider must ask themselves. Say, Pastor Jimenez, we're not backsliders. We're in church on a Sunday morning. Well, I know enough about backsliders to know this. Just because you're in church on a Sunday morning doesn't mean you're right with God, number one. But number two, you may not be in church next week or next month or next year. And I want you to just put this in your mind and put this in your head and kind of file it away. Because some of you, Lord willing, some of you stay with the stuff. You never quit. You get to the end of your life, and like Paul, you say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. But some of you will not. I may not. And I want you to remember this. When you're back fishing, when you're back on drugs, when you're back in alcohol, when you're back in adultery, when you're back in that old lifestyle that Jesus saved you out of, I want you to ask yourself one question. It's the question that Jesus asked Peter. Look at verse 15. So when they had died, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, Jesus says, Peter, I have a question for you. Lovest thou me more than these? Now, there's a huge controversy in teaching, and I'm not going to get into it. There's people who try to explain this passage by saying that the love that Jesus was talking about was an agape love, and Peter responds with this phileo love, and they go back to the Greek. People that don't even know how to read Greek go back to the Greek and try to explain away this passage. And I'm not going to get into that. I'll just say this. If you study the word agape and the word phileo in Scripture, and you study out through the New Testament, because here's what they try to say. Agape is this, like, deep love for God. And phileo is just like, I like you like a friend, you know? And here's the thing. If you study those words used throughout Scripture, they're used interchangeably. They're not, it's phileo is not this like friendship love, and agape is this God love. It just doesn't apply. I mean, the Bible talks about, use the word phileo talking about a very deep love. And it used the word agape talking about a very, you know, a fake love. So if you study that out, it just doesn't pan out. So we're not even going to go there. We don't need the Greek. We've got the Word of God in our hands in the King James Bible, all right? But I want you to notice what Jesus says. He says, lovest thou me more than these? Now, here's what he's saying. Here's what he's not saying. He's not saying, Peter, do you love me more than these other people love me? Because the Bible says that we ought never compare ourselves amongst ourselves. In fact, the Bible says that those who compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. So Jesus is not saying, Peter, do you love me more than John and all these guys? But here's what Jesus is asking Peter. He's asking Peter, Peter, do you love me more than you love these? Meaning your friends, meaning the fishes, meaning this lifestyle. He's saying, Peter, do you love me or do you love this? And when you're back in the world, you're backslidden, you quit on God, you're depressed, you failed, and now you're embarrassed to come back. I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I love this more than I love him? You find the same idea in the story of another famous backslider. Go to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. I know we're looking at a lot of scriptures today, but I'm not really sure why you came to church, if not to look at scriptures. Luke chapter 15, look at verse 11. I'm not going to take the time to develop the entire story. Could preach an entire sermon out of the story of the prodigal son. But I want you to notice something in the story of the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son? Luke chapter 15. Look at verse 11. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. It's funny. When the money runs out, the friends are gone. He's sitting there. You've got a Jewish boy feeding swine, and he's so hungry, he's getting ready to start eating with these pigs. And verse 17 says this, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Here's what he's saying. When he came to himself, he said, you know what? My father's house had a lot of rules. My father's house had a lot of regulations. My father's house had a lot of accountability. My father asked a lot of questions, wanted to know where I was going, wanted to know when I was getting back. But now that I'm out here, I think I like that more than I like this. He said, I'm about to start eating the nastiness of these pigs. And the servants in my father's house are eating better than I am right now. And here's what he's saying to himself. I think I love my father more than I love these pigs. And I think I love my father's house more than I love the pig pen. And Jesus is saying to Peter, Peter, do you like fishing? You like being out here all night long naked? Didn't catch anything? Cold and depressed and sad? You like that, Peter? Do you love these more than me? And I want you to notice something. When you're out there and the Holy Spirit brings that question to your mind and you realize that, wow, it was better before. It was better with God. It was better to walk in the light. It was better to love Jesus. Yes, there was accountability. Yes, there was a lot of preaching. Yes, that guy would always just be telling me everything I did wrong when I went to church. But I think I like that more. When you get to that place, I want you to realize that you're always welcomed back. Because Peter was not ready to get back. But here's what you understand. When you get to that place, when you realize, I actually love that more than this. I don't love this present world. I love Jesus Christ. I don't love the things of this world. I don't love myself. I love God. Here's what it does for you. It humbles you. Notice verse 18. Notice what he says. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And you know the story. He goes back and his dad says, I'm not making you a servant. You're my son. And his father was waiting for him, just like we're waiting for some of ours that have gone astray. Can you get back to John 21? John 21 and verse 16, Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter's response to Jesus was, you know that I love you. Now notice, Jesus asked the question three times. You say, why do you ask it three times? Because Jesus denied him three times. Look at verse 16. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. That's affirmation number two. Look at verse 17. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord. Now notice what Peter says. And you ought to underline this in your Bible. Notice the transformation that had happened in Peter's life. He says, Lord, thou knowest all things. He says, Jesus, you know everything. You know me better than I know myself. He says, thou knowest that I love thee. Now 4 days ago, this guy was telling Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. You told me I'm going to deny you and you don't know me, Jesus. I would never deny you. And 4 days later, he's saying, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know me better than I know myself, Jesus. You know I love you. And Jesus makes the greatest statement, I think, that he could have made to Peter at that time in verse 19. The Bible says, Jesus said to him, follow me. He said, Peter, you're welcome back. He said, Peter, you're welcome back. Peter said, after I quit on you, after I denied you, after I've made a mess of my life, after I've embarrassed myself. And Jesus says, Peter, before you left, I told you you're welcome back. And today you're welcome back. I hope you never quit on Jesus, but some of you will. I hope you don't go astray, but some of you will. It won't happen immediately. You'll start missing church here and there. You'll stop having your devotionals time. You'll start keeping secrets and doing things that you shouldn't be doing. And eventually the world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life will lead you out of the way of following Christ. And I just want to remind you before you go that you're always welcomed back. Because when Jesus calls you to follow, it's a calling for your life. And Jesus says, Peter, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And you know the end of the story? Peter followed. Can you go to Proverbs chapter 24? We'll look at one verse. We'll be done this morning. Proverbs 24. See, what Jesus was saying to Peter was this. Peter, and what I want to say to you this morning is this. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Say, Pastor, you don't understand. I messed up. My marriage messed up, it's my fault. My kids are messed up, it's my fault. I've just I'm making mistakes. I'm denying Christ. I'm doing things I swear I'd never do. And the advice for you is this: you're going to fail. You're not going to succeed. But just try again. Proverbs 24, look at verse 16. We're done right here. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a just man falleth 7 times. See, failure is not falling. Falling is a setback. Failure is not getting up again. For a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. So when you go, when you leave, just remember, you're welcome back. We don't hate you. We're not talking bad about you. We love you. We're praying for you. Like Jesus, we're praying that your faith would not fail. But when you're out there and you get to the end of yourself and you realize this isn't as fun as I thought it was going to be. Hey, you teenagers, when you leave home and you leave church and you say, ah, that thing, that was all my parents' thing and they made me go to church and I, you know, that wasn't my decision. When you get out there and things have gone astray and you realize, I don't know that I like this more than I like that. Just remember, you're always welcome back. And if at first you don't succeed, just try again. Let's bow our heads and have